I want to share with you in the few moments that I have this morning the importance of your relationship to the cross of Calvary. The only thing that stands between you and eternal hell is the cross. And you must understand that if it's the cross that brings you into God's grace and blissful eternity, that Satan will do everything within his power to try to move you away from the cross. If you just take a panoramic view of Christianity across this nation this morning, there are mega ministers in every state of the union this morning on a platform preaching a message that directs people away from the cross, that directs people's focus, attention, and faith away from the blood of Jesus unto something else. And it is the work of Satan, even though it's being carried out under the guise of being the church. It is not the church. They are the enemies of the cross, as Paul would say. And so I want you to understand this morning that Satan will do everything he can to try to remove you, remove your focus and your faith from the cross of Calvary, because that's where your salvation lies. Now, when we say the cross, of course, if you follow this ministry, you should already know what the cross is, but it's just a synonym for a whole capsule of theology. In a nutshell, it encompasses the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is God's redemption plan. We see it from the opening pages of Genesis, where God slaughtered a little animal to provide coats of skin, a covering for Adam and Eve. We see the sacrifice start there. And all the sacrifices through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them pointed forward to Calvary. And when the apostles went out across Jerusalem and they began to preach the gospel after the resurrection, what they preached was, he rose, he rose, he died, and he rose. And it was not until the apostle Paul was given the revelation of what the resurrection means, that he was resurrected for our justification. He died as a scapegoat, a penalty for our sin. And so when we say the cross, we're encompassing all of that theology, the whole of the New Testament, within that one phrase, the cross. Do not let men, do not let the powers of darkness move your attention to something else. Now, the danger this morning is that if you go to YouTube and look up good preacher and listen to five of good preacher's sermons, they're probably going to be very little concerning Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, or the cross of Christ. But in fact, what you're going to hear is how you can be a better husband, how you can be a better you, how you can be more successful in life, all of which, none of that is eternal. But your soul is eternal. So we find here then in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus is speaking, and he gives us this little tidbit of information. Whosoever, it means it doesn't matter who you are, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It means that if you remove your faith from the cross of Christ, that you can lose your salvation and you can lose your eternity. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, so walk ye in him. You received him by faith in his finished work. Now walk out before him, maintaining faith in his finished work. But Satan will always come in, and through his subtlety, he has moved so many people's minds away from the cross unto other things. I'll give you an example, and probably many of you may have actually encountered this on the internet. Maybe they realized I was a preacher on my Instagram account, because I get this stuff all the time. People that are trying to persuade that Christianity is not the way. And it goes on the guide, and it's aimed towards dark complexion people, saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a white man's gospel. And so it came out of Europe. It's a white man's gospel. Saints, just read the book of Acts. This gospel came out of Jerusalem. It's all the way through the book of Acts. It was in Ethiopia before it was ever in Europe. And so this is not a white man's gospel. It's not a black man's gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to maintain our focus on it and don't get distracted to other things that do not matter at all. You got another group. What color was Jesus? I don't care. I don't care. If he's green, I'm cool with that. What I know is that he died on the cross for my sin to bring me back into fellowship with God. And that's all that really matters. Don't be distracted from the purpose of the cross. Now, Jesus in his ministry is really a type of the body of Christ as a whole, but a type of the Christian in many regards. And we find that when Jesus first came into his public ministry, again in the book of Luke chapter 4, this is the opening of his public ministry. In fact, his public ministry hadn't even started. And the Bible says that after he was baptized by his cousin John, that the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And look at one of the temptations that we have from Satan. The devil taketh him into a high mountain and showed unto him, here it is, all the kingdoms of this world. Now we know that because Jesus went to the cross, we read in Revelation that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God in his Christ. So we know he's the king of this world, but what Satan was trying to do was shortstop. And what I mean by that is Satan realizes God's getting ready to pour out a blessing, and so he comes in first and tries to get you satisfied with something else. And so he was tempting Jesus with all the kingdoms of this world. Essentially, what he's saying is that you don't have to go to the cross to get the kingdom of the world. You worship me, I'll give them to you right now and all the power of them. Satan will try to shortstop you the same way. He'll try to catch your attention as he caught Eve's attention in the garden. She was already made in the image of God. But he caught her attention and caused her to believe a lie and threw the whole human race into a tailspin. And it's the cross of Christ that brings us out of that tailspin and brings us back to stability in Christ with the future that's brighter than anything that the first Adam could have ever realized. Hallelujah. All the kingdom of this world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. He said, forget the cross. You don't have to go through that anguish. You don't have to go through that pain. I'll just give it to you up front, and you divert around the cross. And saints, the cross does carry with it a type of death. When you take up your cross, it means a slow ending of self. It means self is going to constantly be diminished. It means that there's going to be less and less self there. Our little frivolous ways and our little attitudes, the cross puts an end to them. Satan will use whatever means. If he did this to Jesus, you better know he'll try it to you and I. And right now, society as a whole is organizing themselves under the Antichrist spirit. And Christianity is getting ready to come under persecution like you and I have never seen. They've seen it all over the world, but you and I, for the most part, have never seen this. They got the jihadists, the Muslims in Africa. When they come in, they'll ask the person, you want a short sleeve or a long sleeve if you're a Christian? And if you say a long sleeve, they cut off the hand. If you want a short sleeve, they cut it off above the elbow. You and I don't know anything about that kind of persecution. The kind of horrors that we've seen on the television set in recent weeks, we don't know anything about those kind of horrors. But they're real and they're happening on this planet, and that spirit is coming into the United States, and you and I are going to have a different, we're going to have more of a resistance to hold on to the cross. How many know it's easy to get into your emotion? You can get into your emotion and you can act a fool. And it's going to get exceeding difficult to hold to the cross no matter what happens, the old rugged cross. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now Paul says, I fear that lest by any means, it lets us know that the powers of darkness will use any and all means to divert your attention to something else. Here's what you need to remember. You are going to die. Grab it. Embrace it. It's real. It's going to happen. The question is how? Will you die in the faith? Or will you venture away from the cross and die away from the faith? As for me, I've made up my decision. Now, it's easy to just, you know, give a proclamation. It's easy to do that. I have to bring this up. Look back at your COVID experience. See, Satan says, skin for skin, all will a man give for his life, but let me touch him. And we don't know what the future is, but we're going to be touched a little bit more than what we have been in the past. And we're going to have a good enough embrace upon the cross that we don't let it go. Is this a downer message this morning? You're going to have to hold on to it, saints. It's a warning to all of us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter took him and began to rebuke him because he said, I'm going to the cross. Now, it wasn't just one of the 12 that did this. It wasn't even just one of the inner circle of the three. It was the prince of the apostles. It was Peter, the leader of the group, who rebuked Jesus and said, no, far be it from you. There's no cross in your future. And I was saying, flesh wants to hear that. Flesh wants to hear that. You know, it would be wonderful if I had a bad attitude towards my wife or something and the cross didn't come to convict me of that and say, you're wrong. Oh, that would be wonderful. I could just be in full fleshly bloom. But the cross is right there to kill out flesh. The cross is right there to correct. And Peter rebukes God in the flesh. There are going to be times that you are going to be rebuked for your hold on the cross. People are going to tell you you're a throwback. That old book of antiquity, you're living by that old rusty book. Your answer needs to be, yes, I am, because it is the only place that you can find absolute truth. There's no other source of truth on the planet. What are you going to go? You're going to go to the House of Representatives to find truth? You're going to go to the Senate? You're going to go to the White House? There's no truth there. As a matter of fact, if we saw what was going on behind the scenes, we would be horrified. But here, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. So Peter rebuked him. And said, be it far from thee, Lord. Now understand what he's saying. Be it. It is the cross. Be it the cross far from thee. Far from thee. Lord, this far shall not be unto you. This cross shall not be unto you. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now watch this. He knew immediately the spirit that was speaking to him. This is the discernment that you and I need, is so that when people are beginning to criticize us because we hold on to the old rugged cross, you need to know immediately where that spirit is coming from, because it will come not always from the corners of the LGBTQ thing, but it will come as an angel of light, a preacher with a church, maybe a mega ministry, definitely a mega ministry. That will tell you, don't worry about that. We don't mention the blood. We don't mention the cross, because it offends people. Yes, it does. The cross brings you into conflict with God's standard of morality, with God's perfection. It brings us into conflict. And here's one thing I know. God don't change. His standard of morality don't change. Now you look at man 50 years ago. They would have put sexual perverts, pedophiles in jail if not given the death sentence. But now they're running for office. And they're winning. So man is all over the map, but God don't change. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hold on to the cross, saints. If this effort was made to remove Jesus from the cross, you and I aren't Jesus, you know there's going to be an assault against you and I. And then the book of Mark, chapter 15. Jesus is now hanging on the cross. The price is being paid. He's been to the whipping pole. His back has been scourged. He's carried the crossbeam, the tibula. He's carried it to the place of execution. His wrists and ankles have been nailed to the wood, and he's been erected high, and he's hanging there, suffering Savior, dying for my sin, dying for your sin. Mark 15, verse 28, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. It means that he hung amongst thieves. He had a thief on the left and on the right. And he hung there in pain. An innocent man, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He said it three times. I find no fault in him. But yet there he hangs with the sign over his head, King of the Jews. An innocent man praying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Come down from the cross. Now, you can't tell me that's not Satan inspired. We saw in all three of these verses that I've shared this morning, the effort of Satan to remove Jesus from the cross. Even when he's hanging there, the temptation is still, come down from the cross. Unless you and I know that until the moment you take your last breath, there will always be some type of a temptation to get you focused on something else other than Jesus. And let me say this. Let me say it correctly. The level of focus that you have on the finished work of Calvary, it reveals the level of faith that you have in the finished work of Calvary. If it's never on your mind, you never think about it, you should change that. Because there are glories in the cross that there are truths there that are above and beyond what you and I could ever think. When they put the crown of thorns on his scalp, there are two words in the Greek. One is Stephanos. And the other is, I can't think of the other one. But anyway, one is the crown of a victor, and one is the crown of a king. When he comes back on a white horse, he'll have crowns on his head. Those are the other word. Those are the crowns of a king. Diadem, that's what it is. He'll have a diadem on his head, the crown of a king. But when they put that crown on his head at Calvary, it was the crown of a victor. Like when an Olympian wins the event, he won a victor's crown. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he took my victory for me, and he took your victory for you. But he paid an awful price. The victor's crown came from a thorn bush. Sometimes the thorns were 7 to 9 inches long, made out of hardwood like most thorns are. And when they shoved that thing down, the thorns would go between his scalp and his skin and pull the skin off. His head would have swollen up like a basketball immediately. But that's our victory. I know it's God's way. It's God's way. That's our victory. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my victory. He took 39 stripes that I could walk in health. Saints, you can't let yourself be removed from that. Jesus preached one message and the people walked off. He said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." The people walked off and left him. Jesus turned around to Peter and said, "Will you go also?" Peter said, "Well, where is there to go? You're the only one that got the words of eternal life. Where are you going? If you leave the cross, where are you going? What are you putting your faith in?" Oh, saints, the cross. Satan is making moves now. We don't realize the hour that we're in, many of us. I think many of us lack the discernment to really see what's happening. As I said earlier, go out to YouTube. Let's just pull up a random preacher. Not me or Brother Swaggart or anyone in that organization. Go out and pull up a random preacher. Pull 10 random preachers up and see how many of them mention the cross. And what is happening is what is called the body of Christ, which is not the body of Christ, are being moved because they've never been born again. Brother Osteen down there, I don't know, he got 20, 30,000 people in the chairs right now. Well, I guarantee you 2/3 of them don't know Jesus Christ. And that's being generous. And so what we're going to see in the months and the years to come, you're going to see people walk away from Christianity in wholesale numbers because they were never saved in the first place. Skin for skin. See, once the church comes under persecution, you're going to find people backing up like Peter. "I never knew him. I know him not." And begin to cuss. "I definitely do not know him. I never talked to him." People are going to be backing up. But you and I, we've got to hold fast to Jesus Christ. Hold fast to the word of God. Listen, you only got to die once. Embrace it. Don't run from it. Don't run from the thought of it. It's going to happen whether you run or not. You know, we got a tendency that I don't want to talk about that. You're being morbid. No, it's reality. It's reality. Stop dying your hair. See those gray hairs you got, you realize, yeah, it's coming. The hour is nigh. But you know what? There is a place in God. If we would dare to pursue it, there is a place in God. Like Paul was in. "I finished my course. My time is at hand." As a matter of fact, he said in another scripture, he said, would it be better for me to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, or would it be better for me to stay so that he could benefit the church? Just go ahead and embrace it, because you can't get to glory until you take this stuff off. That's the only way you can get to glory. That's the only way you can get to the fullness of your inheritance in Christ, is this body's got to come off. If it be so, if it be the will of God, I don't mind dying for Jesus if that's his will. Don't want to. But dying for Jesus is better than dying of cancer. Come on, it's better than muscular dystrophy. It's better than a whole lot of ways. Dementia is better than dementia, right? I know we just like to look at tomorrow and look at the end of the week. I'm going to have a paycheck. I'm going to buy me a new phone. Oh, joy, joy, joy. But honey, there's more to life than your next cell phone. There are some realities that we are going to have to deal with, whether we want to or not. Okay, I got off my message. Save thyself and come down from the cross. This was the temptation that Jesus endured while he was on the cross. Now, he had already embraced the cross. He had already worked through the garden. Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. He had worked through all of that, diminished his will. Now he has fully embraced the cross. But get this, the temptation did not stop. And you may be today wholly committed to the cross, wholly having embraced the cross. It does not mean that Satan is going to give up and say, well, they've got the cross now. I'm just going to leave them alone. That's not the way that Satan moves. What he's going to do is move through his subtlety. He's going to move as an angel of light. Paul mentioned it all the way back in his day, that there would be ministers that come in that are the enemies of the cross that would move people away from the truth of God. And saints, just look at almost any mega ministry in this nation. They're moving people away from the cross. They're giving them fables and old wives' tales. They're giving them humanistic psychology, including the big preacher here in town on the other side of town. That man used to preach the gospel. He used to preach the gospel. I mean, he could make you shout, but no more. No more. It lets us know that just because you've embraced it today, you need to wake up tomorrow morning and embrace it again. And then the morning after that, you need to embrace it again. And every time you pray, you need to thank God that for his redemption plan, the way that he has configured redemption so that you and I could be in relationship with him is through the cross. Again, Jesus said, whosoever doth not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. There's no room to misunderstand. You would need the devil to help you misunderstand that. It's very clear. Cannot. Without the cross, you cannot be his disciple. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads all over the room this morning? Father, we just thank you this morning for the cross. We thank you, Lord, that in your infinite wisdom, that you chose this way to bring men and women back into relationship with you. Lord, you made the standard of faith so low that a child could adhere to it. But Lord, we have an enemy that comes in constantly to divert our attention, to divert our focus, to get us thinking on other things. If by any means he might remove us from the simplicity that is in Christ. Father, we ask you this morning that you would convict our hearts, that you'd convict our lives. If in any way we're moving in our faith away from the cross, if something else is catching our attention, oh God, convict our hearts today and bring us back. Bring us back to the old rugged cross. Bring us back to the truth. Come on, all over the room, if you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet with me? And let's just reach out. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Help me, God, to hold on to the old rugged cross. Help me to never let it go. Help me to not be diverted, that my attention be placed on something else. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. God, I'm not infallible. I'm not made out of iron. I'm a weak human being. But God, in my weakness, let your strength be made perfect. Keep my mind, my heart, my focus. My mind, my heart, my focus upon the old rugged cross. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Just reach out.
Thank you, Jesus. We just say thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the covenant that is Jesus. We say thank you, Lord. Just help us to cling, Father. Help us to cling to the cross, Lord, as we go through our day, work, family, Lord, whatever we're doing, Father, help us to cling to the cross, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, that was a very good sermon. We just want to say thank you guys for joining us in-house and online. And at this time, if you haven't given, please go ahead and get ready to do so. As you guys know, there are many ways to give. Also, we have a food pantry, and we have a list of things that we need for the food pantry, and that list should be up. So as you go out shopping for Thanksgiving, please feel free to, you know, grab one or two things and drop it off. And last but not least, happy Thanksgiving. And with that, there is no prayer on Tuesday or Bible class on Wednesday. So please have fun, be safe, enjoy your time with your family and friends, and we'll see you here next Sunday. So with that being said, let's just go ahead and pray real quick, and I will dismiss. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for the cross. We thank you because you sent the only person that could get on that cross and stay on that cross. Because, Father, we could not bear that weight. Father, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for the price that your son paid. Thank you for the life that he died so that we can live, Father. But, Lord, we know that this life, Father, is meant for him to live through us. So, Father, as we cling to that cross, Lord, help us to die to self, Lord. Help us to die to what we think we need and we want, Father, and help us to walk in that newness of life that is ours, Lord. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. You guys are dismissed, and happy Thanksgiving.